seated this evening. We have been, for the last couple of weeks, talking about building biblical lives. And I've been starting off with either a quiz or some Bible facts, some things like that. And I'm going to do that tonight. I don't want you to be backward and just sit there and stare at me because I know all of you talk. So if you know the answer, just say it, okay? And this is just a little bit of fun. How many of you know you can have fun at church? And even doing Bible quizzes can help us learn things that maybe we didn't know before or we forgot. So we'll start off a little easy. How many chapters does the book of Psalms have? 150. What are the books of the law or the Pentateuch? I can't hear you. You're going to have to talk louder than that. Still can't hear you, but I hear you talking. What is it, David? Yeah, which are? Yes, okay. What are the books of the Bible that start with E? Now, don't be pulling out your phone looking them up. Start with E. Give me some that start with E. Say it loud. Ephesians, Ecclesiastics, Exodus, what else? Esther. Ezra, okay. And I heard Ephesians. Okay, what Old Testament person did James use in James 5, 13 through 18 to demonstrate the power of prayer? He referred Elijah, okay. Finish the proverb. Where there is no vision, okay. In what book of the Bible did the Lord say, this is the last one, just you don't have to have the full address, just give me the book. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah. All right. Y'all get an A tonight. Just some fun. We're talking about building biblical lives, and the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the importance of that. We're going to delve in a little bit deeper tonight. I'm going to refer to some scriptures. There will be a few scriptures that I'm going to refer to again that we've referred to the last 2 weeks, but how many of you know that it's good to let passages resonate and marinate in you? We're going to actually read them together, and then after we do, I have a few people tonight that throughout the teaching, they're going to come up and pray the word. You know, that's one thing that Doug Small has taught us every time he's came is pray over an open Bible. We've talked about it. We do it. We pray apostolic prayers, and there's something life-changing about that. So we're going to do that tonight. And we're going to start off with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And I want you to read this with me from off of the screen, if you will. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amy's going to pray that passage over us.
Thank you, Father, for giving us your God-breathed word. For your word, we find every substance of you, Lord, your very character, your nature, and your will. We are empowered by your instruction and correction, guided by it in paths of righteousness. Through God, through your word, you've given us wisdom, you've given us strength, you've given us hope, you've given us truth, and you've given us guidance to fulfill the call that you have placed, the purpose that you have placed on our lives. Thank you. Your word placed in our hands, in our hearts, and in our minds are our guidebook and our blueprint. Every answer that we seek, every promise that we need, we will find, Lord, in your word, and we're so grateful for it. It's not a history book, Lord, but it's your word containing you. And as we read it, Lord, let us consume it. Let us be changed by it.
Yes, Lord.
Fully prepared to fulfill any assignment that you have given us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, mighty God, for your great love for us, that you loved us so much that you gave us your word, these very scriptures. Let us apply it to our life, Lord. Let us use it daily. Let us seek it daily, Lord.
Yes,
let
God.
It come alive inside of us. Let us be changed by it, O Lord, that you can fulfill the work that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The word of God is the foundation of our faith. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. We can never be stronger in our faith than the knowledge of the word. And we can pray all day long, Lord, give me faith, give me faith, give me faith. You have a measure of faith, but what's going to stretch that faith, what's going to exercise it, what's going to cause it to grow is your knowledge of the word. The word is going to propel and stir your faith into action. So it is the bedrock that we build our lives upon that's going to endure every test of time. It's the truth we stand on that dispels every lie that would lead us into bondage. If we don't know the truth, what does the truth do? It sets us free. So we have to have the truth of the word. His word is the source of life. It will make us wise unto salvation. His word will sanctify us. His word was sent to heal us. Aren't you thankful for that? That's not just spiritually, but it's physically and it's emotionally. His word does the whole work inside of us. His word reveals the ways of God and the nature of God to us. His word is filled with wisdom and teaches us the fear of the Lord, that reverence for him. His word instructs us in the ways of righteousness and equips us for every good work. His word builds character. His word will give us assurance and lead us into victory. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Everything in this life, everything in this world is going to pass away one day. Heaven, earth, you, I, everything we own, it's going to pass away, but his word is going to endure forever. I like the way the psalmist said it in 119:89. Your word, O Lord, is everlasting. It is firmly fixed in the heavens. The Bible has the power to transform our heart, our mind, and our lifestyle. The more we get into the word and the more the word gets into us, the deeper our relationship with the Lord becomes, the more fruit we bear, and the more we reflect his glory, the more we are transformed into the image of Christ, and the more we become imitators of Christ. Last week, we looked at the parable of the sower, and I want to revisit that for just a moment. The sower being, you can read that in three of the four gospels. The sower is the one who shares the word, the gospel. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is our heart. And when you look in this parable, you find that there are different types of ground or soil. There was a seed that was sown on the wayside. It landed on ground that was hard and unreceptive. And before anything could happen, because it was so hard, the enemy came, snatched it away. One translation said the birds picked it up before they could even have any kind of experience with the Lord. The seed that fell on sandy soil was received with gladness, but it was shallow and never took root. So when the tests came and the trials came and all that came, they couldn't stand. They fell away. Then there was a seed that fell on soil that was overrun with thorns. It was received for a season, but everyday life, deceit of riches, circumstances of life, the pleasures of life, everything else took priority over the word of God. So it didn't go very deep. And it was soon choked out and there was not a priority for the things of the Lord. We have to live with intention. And then there was the good soil that heard the word, obeyed it, and yielded fruit. And I want to say this again because it's important. We can all drift. We can all become deceived. We can all fall away. We never should get to the point to think that we've arrived, we've made it, we know the word, we've been filled with the Spirit, we've taught, we've preached, we've done all of those things. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're constantly having to make sure that the word is inside of us and guarding our heart, because we can become hardened, we can become apathetic. We can become disillusioned, doubtful, distraught, bitter, resentful. There's a lot of things, even emotions sometimes take out people in the church more than huge sins. Those little offenses, those things that pretty soon become big, or we don't keep it where we need to be. And that's why Hosea said, you plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will reap a harvest of love. But plow up your hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness on you. So every single one of us have a responsibility to plow up fallow ground. Every single one of us. And we plow up ground with the word. We plow up ground when we press against that that's pressing against us. We plow up ground when we come in and we would rather just sit and let our mind wander. We've made it to church, be happy about that. And we are. But for your sake, you plow up fallow ground every time you worship God and give him glory, even though your flesh is tired and you don't feel like doing it. You're plowing fallow ground. You're getting the soil of your soul ready to receive the seed of the word so that it can build your faith and you can grow thereby. So just a thought on that. So I want us to read together Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. On the screen, read with me if you will. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And Teresa's going to pray that over us.
God of all creation, you are high and lifted up. You are above all. Your thoughts are good, perfect, and true. Your ways are just, righteous, and merciful. Your thoughts and ways are far above ours, just as the heavens are far above the earth. We can trust you. Forgive our pride in trying to direct ourselves, thinking vainly that we have some great wisdom. Thank you, God, that just as the rain and snow that you send from heaven water the earth and cause seed to sprout and crops to grow that provide food, so too your word that proceeds from your mouth does not return empty. God, we are comforted by your promise that your word will accomplish your purpose in the lives of our prodigals and the unsaved. We believe your word that will come home, that they will come home and they will flourish. We believe there is coming a great harvest of souls, and we hold fast to the promise that you desire all men to be saved and that you are at work. We delight in knowing your word will succeed in the thing for which you sent it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Praying the word? That's powerful. I recently read, a person who merely samples the word of God never acquires much of a taste for it. Yeah. Psalmist said 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." When you look in the Word of God, you find spiritual nourishment. It's food for the soul. I like the way that Jeremiah puts it. He says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word became to me the gladness and the joy of my heart." It's nourishment. It's food. Job said in 23:12, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Psalms 119 says, "Oh, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." You know, our spiritual life, our spiritual health, and our spiritual maturity depend on his word. We can come to church all we want, and we can hear the word, and that's important. But if we're going to grow, we have to get into the word. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." How many of you have been enjoying the babies that we've had in our church the last 2 or 3 years, watching them be born and grow up? You know, most of them have already moved from the milk to baby food, and now they're on table food. And a lot of them pick up their own food off of their tray and feed themselves. Some of them are walking, and some of them fall down, but they get right back up and they keep going. They're growing. Doug Small reminded us that we are to be childlike in our faith, but not childish in our behavior, right? 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said in 13:11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Hebrews 6:1 tells us, "Therefore, let us leave elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." There comes a time when we have to, for us as well, we have to start growing up in the things of Christ, and we have to move from the elementary teachings into the meat. I like the milk, but I like the manna, and I like getting my steak knife out and enjoying some of that meat as well. Maturity comes as our character is developed and we bear kingdom fruit. It's allowing the Word of God to not only instruct us in righteousness, but to convict us of sin. Not only sin, but things that are toxic emotions, things, behaviors that aren't becoming of a child of God. And aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering with us, that he has patience with us? He doesn't just discard us and say, "Man, you should be further along than that by now." He loves us and he helps us, and Holy Spirit will remind us of things in the Word. How many of you love it when you're going to just tell somebody for what? Because they need it and they deserve it. And Holy Spirit says, mm-mm. Amen. You want to reflect me? Then you hold that thought. Yeah, that's growing up. That's maturity. Or when we are offended, because we're going to be offended. This flesh gets offended. It'll catch you off guard. You'll be in an awesome service, having a wonderful time, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Go out there, and then someone tries to run over you in the parking lot. Right? And we have to be checked by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about growing up in Christ, getting the word down in you so that we can not only be instructed in righteousness, but when conviction comes, that we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and to the word of God till we're conformed into his image. There's a scripture that I believe is worth pondering tonight that will help us to develop biblical foundation and biblical lives. Colossians 3:16. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It'll be on the screen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, I want to read it out of the New Living. It's going to be up on the screen as well. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now, I like the message. Now, I'm teaching you something tonight, okay, about building biblical lives. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another in using good common sense. And sing. Sing your heart out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. I want to focus for a few moments on the first part of that. Let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you how? Richly. Let it overflow. Or we could think of it this way. Let his word permeate every part of your life. Let it influence your thoughts. Let it influence your actions. Let it influence your words, where you go, what you say, what you do, how you act. Let everything you do be all for the glory of God, because Christ, who is your life, dwells in you. So let the word of Christ dwell in you. So one way to allow the word to permeate every part of your life, not just read it and let the birds or the enemy take it from you before it ever takes root. One way to let it begin to go down deep, and you're thinking, I'm not even remembering it. I'm telling you, if the seed is in there and you water it with obedience and with trust, it's going to be there even though you think you can't remember it. And when you need it, Holy Spirit's going to bring it to the surface. So one way to let that happen is to meditate on a passage that you're reading. Meditate on it. Go back and you're thinking, that was good, but I didn't quite grasp it. Go back and read it again. Let it meditate. Then read it just like I did tonight from other translations. Get out other translations and let it have a fuller meaning. Take some time. Sometimes it's not always the best way. I like to speed read. There are some times that I will go through books very quickly, but then there are other times when I will go back and maybe just do a word study. One word or one passage and spend a lot of time there and let it get down inside of me. So you read it from other translations. You pray over it like we were doing tonight. You search it out in a commentary, especially if you feel Holy Spirit is nudging something in you. He's dropping a word inside of you, and he will do that. You ask Holy Spirit to breathe new life through the revelation of his word, that it would become alive in you. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that does what? Quickens or gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why sometimes you can read something and it's like, I didn't get anything out of that. Then you go back another day, you read the same passage and it's like, whoa, that is amazing. I didn't see that before. Or the Lord will minister to you. You know, it's God's breath that's in our lungs. We're his temple, right? As a child of God, we're his address. He dwells in us. He doesn't come in and out on Sunday morning for a visit, or when we fail him, then he just forsakes us and says, get it all together and I'll be back. No. Willful sin will separate us from God. But when we're in this journey and we're doing our best to please God and to live our life, there's going to be times when we fail and we mess up and we feel all whatever, but he's with us to help us to grow. And his word shapes us. Over in Acts it says, the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For in him we what? Live, move, and have our being. And his word in us that quickens us is what helps us to understand who he is and who we are. And it gives us the grace and the mercy and the gumption and the fortitude to get up and go again when we fall down. Because there's some ups and downs in this life. There's some tough places, but God helps us. His word, let it dwell in you richly. His word is so full of practical insight for daily living. It instructs us in wisdom. It has the power to keep us from sin and to lead us in paths of righteousness. And I'm going to give you some of those nuggets of wisdom tonight. Proverbs 4:23. This one, the Lord spoke to me years ago, and I know of a child he spoke this to. Guard your heart above what? All else. Why? Because out of it flow the very issues of life. Proverbs 17 said, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Ecclesiastes says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God in heaven and you on earth, so let your words be few. Ephesians, I'm talking a lot about words right now because words get a lot of us in trouble. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. How many of you know that we represent Christ even with what we say and how we say it? No unwholesome talk. No jest, coarse jesting. Not anything that's going to bring reproach on the Lord. Come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Isn't that some powerful wisdom? That's good. He gives us wisdom on our lifestyle. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. He tells us in Ephesians to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Because why? The days are evil. We're to make the most of every opportunity. Over in Romans, he tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what the will of God is. We don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to dabble along the edge and hope we make it and don't fall in. We don't just have to have fire insurance. We need the fire of the word that'll burn out everything else that's not like God and every desire that draws us from him that would quicken us to be like Christ. Over in Galatians, he says, don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, we're going to reap. That's wisdom. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. If we sow to the spirit, we're going to reap eternal things. There's wisdom that can be found for every area of our life. I want you to look at the wisdom. It's going to be on the screen, found in this passage alone. Such a familiar scripture in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, he's concerned about everything in our life that concerns us, from buying a house to buying a car to who, you know, we're going to marry, to relationships, to financial decisions. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And then he teaches principles on giving in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's so many scriptures even on giving that will help us to become generous and not live in lack. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I love it. And then I like this in Psalms 119:98. It says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. So that word hidden in our heart makes us wiser than our enemies. I need that. You know, you need that, because there are snares that are laid. There are things that happen that we're not emotionally prepared for, but God knows what's coming. And so he makes us wiser than our enemies. He helps us to navigate the landmines and the things that are around us. And he helps us go through the valley of Baca and through the valley of the shadow of death. And he leads us beside still waters. And when we get in his word, it gives us that assurance. And when we don't have the wisdom that we need, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. He'll give it to you generously. He won't sit there and condemn you and say, what do you need wisdom for? He's gonna lavish it on you so you can walk through the place that you're at. The scriptures not only contain wisdom, but they are full of word pictures that we can relate to, objects that describe the word of God, a goad, a well-driven nail. I'm telling you these things so that it's inside of you. So as you're reading the word of God, I'm telling you, things are going to start jumping off the page. A treasure, a witness, a lamp, a mirror, a hammer, a fire, a scalpel, a sword, a light, honey, a teacher. His word, there's so many word pictures and object lessons to be taught. His word contains allegories and parables that teach us kingdom principles. An allegory is imagery or a story that reveals spiritual meaning. And one of my favorite is over in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And he uses the imagery of a bush in the desert, and also a well-watered tree by the rivers of living water. Two types of people. One trusts in the arm of flesh, and he's like a heath or a tumbleweed, and he's thrown and blown by every wind of doctrine. Everything just blows him everywhere. And then there's the one who's planted by the rivers of living water, who trusts in the Lord, doesn't see when heat comes, doesn't see when things, when the enemy tries to take them out, the roots keep going down deeper and deeper into the river of living water. His leaf is always green. He doesn't feel like it's green. You ever been there where it's like, I don't even see how I can be bearing anything right now? But because you're plugged in, and you're in the word, and your roots are going deep, you're bearing fruit. Even when you're dry, you're able to pray for someone else. Deanna, you're able to love on someone else. You're able to speak life into someone else, even though you feel so dry, because you're hooked into, your roots are down deep, and you're bearing fruit even in your darkest season of life. That's what the word does. That's what the word does. There are parables. We talked about them, and I'm getting ready to close up for tonight. parables are simple stories that illustrate profound truth. Jesus taught in parables. He would bridge the natural to the supernatural, and he would use everyday objects or occupations or things that we could understand. Parables like the wise and the foolish builder, the sower, the weeds, the lampstand, the hidden treasure and the pearl, the lost coin, the parable of the homeowner, the parable of the 10 virgins, such powerful parables, the wedding banquet, the sheep and the goats, and so many more. It is history, it's prophecy, it's instruction, it's insight to live in the abundance of Christ. And here's where our part comes in. Our part comes that we read it, and then we trust, and we obey. And that's how our roots go down so deep, is when we trust and we obey. We trust and we obey. We hadn't seen anything yet. We hadn't seen the answer yet. We know what God's word says. We know what he tells us to do. We've seen it work in other people's lives. We have witnesses. There's a great cloud of witnesses. But it's a whole different thing when we start growing and maturing. And we have to walk through the valley of Baca. And we have to trust God when we can't see anything in that moment. But he says, this is the way, walk in it. And we're like, God, I'm going to trust you even though I can't see anything yet. Lord, I'm struggling in my finances, but now you know, keep your seed in the ground, because as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest, there's going to be summer and winter, there's going to be all of the seasons, and God honors his word. But God, why don't you just bless me? And he said, I want to, but I need you to trust me now, because now you're off of the milk, now you've got to get on to some meat, now you know. I need your seed in the ground so that you can trust me and I can show you some things. Lord, I need you to work in my life. I want to be used of you. God, please use me. And then the Holy Spirit says, I want to use you. I want to use you. But I need you to forgive so-and-so. Lord, anything but that. Anything but that. And we hold on to things and we don't realize that as soon as we release it, there's going to be a blessing, there's going to be abundance, there's going to be an overflow in our life of the presence and the power of God, because there are things that are holding us down and holding us back that God wants to do in us. And he's drawing us. Trust and obey. That's what leads us into maturity. And sometimes we're going to fall and we get back up. He reminds us in his word how important it is to take heed to the things we have read. We're winding down, and I want you to read this with me. Proverbs 4:20-22 up on the screen. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. Tyler's going to pray that over us.
Lord, we ask you to help us to pay attention to your words, God. Let your words penetrate our hearts. Allow us to truly hear and to heed your words, to not just let your instructions slip away. That we keep your words deep within our heart. Give us the wisdom to discern your voice, to hear what you're saying, God. Allow your words to be a guiding light upon our feet, that we never stray from your will. Keep our eyes focused on you, that our gaze doesn't wander and lose sight of what you've planned for us. Help us to store your word deep in our hearts. Let your word be life, truth, and a light to us. That through your word, our bodies are made healthy and whole. That just as Solomon was teaching his sons this, that if we follow your word and your will, we shall find the path to success. Help us to always be receptive to your word and your teachings. Thank you for being the lamp unto our feet. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That is so, so, so powerful. Proverbs 3 and 12 said, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for they will add length to your days, years, and peace to your life." Isn't that a beautiful promise? I want to close, and then we're going to pray. And then before we go, Dr. Mark is going to pray the word over us, a blessing. But in Psalms 119, it says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Just the unfolding of his word gives light. I want to say to you tonight that you're farther along than what you think. I want to say to you, keep that word, the seed of the word that the Lord has been placing in your heart, and guard it. And obey it quickly. God is doing things in you. He's using you. He's bringing fresh revelation to you. And he gives us his word not to condemn us or to shame us or to make us feel, boy, we're really short in this area. He brings revelation so that we can grow in maturity and grow in understanding. And we can become more of a riverbed for him to flow through. We were in the ministry. We were pastoring when the revelation came to me out of Romans. And I'm saying this to you because we're all still growing. Early on in the pastorate and in our ministry, and I remember that I would just feel like I had to get into a real spiritual place before I could pray in tongues and God could speak through me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And when I begin to understand the word and I had a mentor begin to pour into me, that the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. He helps us pray when we don't know how to pray, where to go, when we're weak, when we're struggling, when we're dealing with a habit, when we're dealing with low self-esteem, whatever it is. That broke the back of the enemy. I always waited until I felt spiritual, thinking I've got to be really spiritual for the Spirit to use me. I hope you're getting what I'm saying, because some of you, God has been giving you revelation and you're trying to line some things up in your life and get to a certain place before you feel God can use you. It literally transformed my praying and my studying when I realized he wants to help me in my weaknesses. He wants to pray through me so I can build my most holy faith. He wasn't looking for me to get to a place where I felt like I was mature and ready. He was saying, "Here's your help. Here's your help." And then I had to begin to allow him to pray through me. I had to exercise, let him use my mouth. I had to, by faith, begin to let the rivers begin to flow through me. He wasn't going to force me to do it. And I pray this is revelation to you, because some of you are in a place right now where you have been reading the word and God has been speaking some things to you, and there are some things that you have never practiced before, and it seems like it's overwhelming, and you're trying to get some things into alignment, and the Lord is saying, start now with what you know. Start now with what you know. Does that make sense? Stand with me tonight. I have Dr. Mark pray this blessing over us tonight.
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we know that our hope rests in you. And because of that hope, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, let your peace embrace us. And then as we experience your peace, let us be filled with joy. Joy in knowing that in all things we can trust that you are working in our favor for our good. As our hope overflows, let it build up our faith in your word, the promises of your word, and the power of your word. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.